Welcome, everybody. Somehow we got this meeting scheduled toe-to-toe with the or head-to-toe with the previous meeting, so there's zero break between them, which means we should get going quickly here. Welcome. It's a pleasure to meet with you. I have been starting these meetings with the introduction of our new incoming board members. Got them all? I see two. Is Ron around, or did he step out for a second? Lucevies and Lito down there, and Ron, when he comes in, will introduce you. He's sitting here, I think. And it's your meeting, your agenda. Let's go.
Hey, thanks, Steve. This is Rafik Damak speaking. Thanks for this meeting we have that we have usually in ICANN meeting, and we are always happy to have this interaction with the board, and we shared with you three topics, and we tried to work on that beforehand. And just for information, we made a small amendment for one of the topic. So for today, we wanted first to start with a kind of discussion about, say, new GDID program and DNS industry from a developing country standpoint. And then we go to discuss more about ICANN and human rights. And then for the amended agenda item, we want to talk more about maybe content policy or content regulation, because what's happening as a discussion in Dublin meeting. So I would invite first, maybe if she's here, Marilia, to speak first, maybe to make really, really brief and quick introduction, and so we can start the discussion.
Thank you very much, Hafik. This is Marilia Maciel speaking for the transcript and CSG representative in the GNSO Council. So we are in the process of assessing the first round of new GTLD applications in view of preparing for the next one. And we know that in the meeting that the contracted party house had with the board yesterday, they asked for clarity and predictability in regards to the timing of the next round. And in this process of preparation for the next round, several documents are being produced, mostly under the umbrella of the Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review. And one of these reports produced by Nielsen shows that Latin America, Asia, Africa have been great drivers of the new GTLD program acceptance. So these regions are really contributing to the demand side, and I'm sure that actors in the region would be happy to benefit from resources, innovation, and jobs that the DNS industry can potentially bring. So this topic is being discussed in the organizations at least since 2006. It's not new. Recommendations have been made in this regard by the Joint Working Group on Application Support. But concrete measures to address these issues have not been sufficiently put in place. So we would like to know what is the view of the board on possible remediation mechanisms of this imbalancing, taking into account that new GTLD subsequent procedure preliminary issue report has been issued, which will potentially trigger a PDP process soon in the GNSO.
Thank you, Marilia, for this question. I mean, what you are stating is a fact, and we are aware of this, but this needs to be analyzed. But also, ICANN staff is doing quite a bit to promoting DNS industry in developing regions. I had asked Pierre to join us, but he obviously was not able to, so to explain a bit what he is doing. But Sherine, would you be able to? Bruce?
Sorry, I'm not really in a position to make a comment on that point.
Yeah, look, I think you're asking what's the board's position on a particular point. The board hasn't discussed it, so it doesn't have a position. If you're talking about what individual board members think, I think at this stage there's lots of different lessons and learnings from the new GTLD round, and so we've got a series of processes to identify those lessons and learnings. Some of those learnings will go into operational improvements that the staff will implement, and some of those lessons will go into policy improvements which the GNSO will implement. So as these groups identify those lessons, we expect that we'll talk to staff about the operational improvements, And we'll expect GNSO will come back to the board with the policy improvements. And then at that stage, the board would have a position.
Thank you. Other comments? Marilia?
Just to ask, well, first of all, just to have some clarity in your opinion, how the CCT review is going to take place in parallel with the PDP process on GTLD subset procedures, what will be the interaction between both? One will feed into the other, if you have views on that. The second point is that I believe that in order to address these imbalances, we do need to have a good and sound diagnosis of the problem. As I mentioned, metrics is being developed to assess competition, but these metrics seem to capture so far competition among the existing players. We did not see in the metrics metrics that would help us assess what are the barriers for new actors to enter the DNS market space. So this should be taken into account. We have addressed that before with the team that is developing the metrics, and we would just put ourselves at your disposal to help as well to make sure that this problem is addressed. And just one last question. Do you think from an organizational standpoint that something that has been discussed before in the first round, which is a differentiated application fees for developing region. Do you see this as something feasible, how we could move this also forward, and how do you see in terms of non-financial support that maybe could be put in place as well?
I'll attempt to answer. That's quite a few things in there. I think one thing is that we've committed to implement the review that was requested in the affirmation of commitment, so we will implement that review, and that review will have a series of recommendations. In my view, that we should make sure the terms of reference of that review team is clear, that we're looking for actionable recommendations, not just a review team telling us to go and do some more reviews. So we want to kind of have some prioritised, implementable changes. I would expect that as part of that review team, the NCSG would make submissions to that review team on, you know, how things could be improved in terms of accessibility. The data that's going to be provided to that review team, we've had one data set that's been collected, and another data set will get collected early next year. To the extent that you can identify metrics that can be easily collected and you know, if you like, implementable metrics, because sometimes some of the metrics that have come back in the past have been a little vague. But, you know, count of the number of people in different regions registering in the new GTLD space. I mean, some of these, if you can identify some metrics that we can measure easily, then yes, please do. And we'd have an opportunity to collect those metrics as input into the AOC review. And then the output of the AOC review, the board will receive that output, and then things that require policy work, we will then send that to the GNSO as part of the PDP process. And things that come from that AOC review that are operational will then direct staff to implement those changes.
Thank you. Maria, if you're thanks for raising the question. If you're talking about maximizing the number of new GTLDs in various regions which are underserved in, according to some metric, then I think you're asking the right question, and your suggestion about seeing what the situation is, making a study, is the right way to go. If you're taking a slightly broader view and regarding new GTLDs as a means to economic and social development, then I think the larger question is what levers does ICANN have? What areas of ICANN activity can contribute to this? And I'd suggest that that may be a good way to look at it, because we also have the leverage of encouraging registrars. And the good thing about that is that the costs of entry are lower. Registrars tend to be purveyors of all kinds of services, web services, et cetera, which make them a going business, and that combined with the kinds of activities, the educational activities, the technical support activities that ICANN is providing in these regions, may be more powerful in achieving that end than looking just at the issue of new GTLDs for those regions. It's not that they aren't important, but that they're a part of a larger picture, depending on what your ultimate goal is. Thank you.
Are there other comments? As I just saw Pierre entering the room, I wonder whether you would like to tell a bit about your activities to promote the DNS industry and GDLDs in Africa. I know you... Sorry to put you on the spot, but...
Hi, morning. I'm Pierre D'Angino. I'm Vice President of Stakeholder Engagement, Africa. And, well, quickly, I would just say that as far as Africa is concerned, we have this DNS entrepreneurship as one of the our priority areas. We are really assisting in doing a few things in terms of capacity building, but also in terms of supporting the core market development areas. In that, we are working both, of course, with the CCTLDs and also the African registrars. Most importantly, of course, as far as DNSSEC is concerned, we have our DNSSEC roadshows, and we are happy to announce that more and more African countries are now signing their zone file, which is a thing now. We do have 7 of them today. We started with only 2 of them that signed. And also we have webinars with them regularly, and we are trying to share knowledge. We are also working on DNS and entrepreneurship. We do have a center now in Egypt. That's where we are actually working on building capacity, first technical one, but also on the whole business area, because one of the issues with our DNS operators in Africa is the whole issue of marketing the thing, because it's not at all known, so people are not really using those things. So we are actually trying to support how you do develop a good strategy, marketing strategy, and the whole suite of it. And finally, for the African registrars, where there are a few of them today, we 7 an African accredited registrar by ICANN. One of the issues, and then we are so grateful to the board, the decision to waive these insurance fees. That was a great handicap for them. I think 2 weeks ago, the board took that good decision for waiving this because this business is not known in Africa, so people could not be covered out of Africa. So they have to actually be covered by outsiders, insurance companies. But today, I think with this waiver, certainly we are moving to the right direction to lower the entry barrier for those registrars, and they are quite happy with that. And the rest, I think, in Africa is a bit of outreach that we have to do, and promoting those things and communicating on them. So, that's basically what we are doing in terms of DNS in Africa.
Rudy? Yes.
Rudy Vansnik for the transcript. I'm quite happy to learn that a lot of efforts are done in Africa, essentially in stimulating the registrars market, because that's the starting point. It's not the registries, it's the registrars. And as I explained 2 months ago, I was at the third summit of AFICTA. I explained that if they are able to create their registrar market in Africa, they will keep their economy growing in Africa, and they're not going to send their resources and their money to the US or other Western world registrars. And I think that's the basics. If you can create a good platform so that registrars in Africa can really be sustainable, there will be a lot of other markets created around it. There will be more web development. There will be more engagement from organizations, because they are looking forward how to get involved in the internet, and if they can speak to the local community, that is much easier than talking to the ICANN world. So I'm quite hopeful that this will proceed in this way, and that we are not investing too much time and financial resources in creating registries, but rather trying to get registrars in the developing regions.
Thank you. And I just, Akram is also in the room and would be able to answer Marilia's complex question on the interrelationship in the various reviews. Akram, where are you? Yes, please. Can you find a microphone?
Akram, you were not in the room when Marilia asked. Just this, the overview of the reviews, the new GTLD round that you gave yesterday in the constituency day may be just helpful.
Thank you. there are many different reviews going on. There is a set of reviews that's required by the AOC and which is the consumer competition and trust review that is being formed right now. This review requires a certain set of studies, an economic study as well as a market study, and both of these studies are needed twice, once at the beginning of the review and once at a year later. So all of these are in one bucket, if you want, of reviews. Then there are actually some reviews that were required by the GAC, including a security and stability review, and there were some other reviews that were committed by the board at the previous times that need to happen. And then there is also an operational review that the ICANN staff did on the operational part of the current round that will feed into all the other reviews and the formulation of the next round as well. So we will come back with we had a session on the reviews that went over the timeline and all of these items that I mentioned. I know that everybody is very busy and not everybody can attend all the sessions, but this information is also posted. There is a slide that shows all the different tracks, and then there is text behind it explaining what's happening and when it's going to happen and what needs to happen, views done. We will make sure we tighten up a little bit of the dependencies because they might not be clear, and so that everybody understands what is dependent on what, so that you have a clearer picture. I hope this answers. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Verimund. Sorry for putting you on the spot at short notice. Yes, Sherin?
But, I mean, in all fairness, Maria asked three very specific questions, and I don't think we've answered them. And I wonder, do you feel they've been answered, or you want to pose them again? Because Akram would be more in a position to answer those.
Well, maybe the only point that I feel was not addressed was your feeling with regards to application fees, because I think this is a very important point to the developing regions of the world. From an organizational standpoint, this has been discussed before in the first round, and I believe that it has not been addressed. So application fees, this is something that can be lowered, and which other kind of non-financial support you envision could be put in place for developing country applicants. And I do agree with George and others on registrars. Just wanted to note that. Thanks.
I think it's very important to not to talk about fees in terms of money and the cost and all these per application. It's very important to look at the program as a whole and what are we trying to achieve. I don't think, well, I'm not going to speak for the community, but we need to be careful about making ICANN a registry where the fees of getting a domain name at the top level becomes so accessible that we have thousands and thousands of domain names in the root. So it has to be a balance of affordability, but also of what is it that we're trying to achieve with the program. And we shouldn't lose track of that. That doesn't talk to making sure that we have a mechanism or a way to help applicants from other countries apply as well. So let's separate the two. Let's not make the fee the way to get more applicants from all over the world. I know that the previous round had a process for that. It wasn't very successful. We got only three applicants through, and we should spend more time on addressing this issue before early on, so we have a good, robust program for that. But let's not mix the two together. Thank you.
Let me chime in there. Akram, thank you very much. And the picture that you paint about what is the whole picture going to look like in terms of how many are in the route and whether or not we become a de facto registry is a very important element. Let me shift the focus, on the other hand, back to I think where maybe where Marika is coming from. During the last round, when we looked at this, there was quite a lot of dialogue about what the cost of the application was, could we underwrite it, and so forth. Bigger picture is that in order to put a successful operation, to make it successful, put it in, make it go, the aggregate numbers, and I don't have precise numbers here, but let's just say it's between $1 and $2 million, that the $185,000 fee, although not trivial, is a very small portion of the actual costs of assembling a team and doing the marketing and having the operations and so forth, so that it's not a small venture to go and create a new TLD. And further, even if one puts one together, the chances of success vary tremendously depending upon the context. What are you trying to accomplish? Who are the likely customers? What is the range of things? So as in any kind of funding operation, it's easy to have a lot of pressure to say we ought to be spending money somewhere. It's much harder to make it a successful program if unless one takes into account all these different factors. So I think there's quite a lot of empathy and desire to be helpful, but equally a certain amount of realism about jiggering or just changing the level of funding required to buy in is not necessarily the healthiest thing for everybody. It leads to people saying, oh, this is cheap, I'll get into it, and then being in trouble afterwards and so forth. So I think taking a bigger picture, a larger vision of what's going on and being realistic about that, and perhaps looking at where there might be additional sources of support or what the other issues. And as long as I'm on this, let me just keep raising issues. One of the classic kinds of problems about providing support into a developing country is that it attracts players who are eager to be on the receiving end of that, who may or may not be related to the health of the developing country itself. So you get industrial players, people from developed countries, seeing it as a business opportunity that may or may not be coupled with actual impact in a positive way with the rest of the development. So you get a kind of a neocolonialism or a carpetbagger, to use an Americanism. So we're sensitive to all that, and we don't have any quick answers, but I think that's the larger set of questions. And buried in there is what the price of admission is for a TLD, but it actually, I think, is part of a much larger thing. So I, as I said, I don't have any answers, but I think that's the discussion that would be very helpful, so that if we make decisions that are intended to be helpful in a developing country, that they're actually tied to what dynamics are going to turn out to be.
Yes, there are still more questions. We spent quite a time. Rafik is keen to move on, but I don't want to stifle the discussion. I saw Marilia and Bruce were also wanted to chime in. Marilia first.
Thank you. Marilia speaking. Just a quick reaction to the last few comments. I do believe it's a very valuable concern, thinking about non-overpopulating the route. I don't think that the fee should be the mechanism to numerically restrict the application. We could go for asking for very sound business plans. Technical aspects need to be sound too. And, of course, other kinds of support. It's not just about the application fee, but as Steve mentioned, there is support that could be given to bureaucratic aspects of the application, language for those that don't speak English as a first language, and so forth. I just wanted to bring one more item to the conversation, which is we had in the GNSO a presentation from the financial department, and we saw that a considerable amount of money has been set aside in the applications to cover potential risks in terms of legal procedures that could arise. And these risks, from what we see from the presentation, seem to have been overestimated. So there is a considerable amount of money from the applications that is there. And maybe this is something that we could review to the next round, recalculate the risks and think about what we could do considering this amount of money that we have there that was not spent, and maybe could revert to supporting applicants from developing regions. Thanks.
Bruce?
Yeah, this probably partly relates back to some of the earlier comments about the release of new names in developing countries. But ICANN actually has released quite a few new top-level names in developing countries, mostly around, as I understand it, local language versions or internationalised domain names. because I know I've certainly seen approved quite a few of those in the last few years. It'd be interesting for those that are in those regions to be able to give us some statistics on how they're going, because that's one set of new names that at least relates to the local culture, hopefully. And the other thing is that with some new city names that have been released in Africa, I think Durban and maybe there's Johannesburg as well, but there are some new names being released. It'd be interesting to see how those new names are going in those developing regions as well. So, yeah, certainly any data from the names that have been released already and how they've been used and how they're helping the local economies would be really helpful.
Darin, but with that, I close the queue on this issue.
I just wanted to respond to the issue of risks and finance issue of the money set aside. A programme of that size have many risks. There could be operational risks, there could be legal risks, there could be various things. And it's very difficult to really pinpoint at a minute in time when these risks are totally mitigated. Definitely, as the programme goes along, the operational risks become less and less. But even when the last applications have been processed, there could be risks that linger on for a number of years to come. So it's a very difficult one, but I do appreciate the point. So that will also be taken into account when we think of the next round and we think of the money left over and all that. Thank you for raising the point.
Yeah, I would also like to thank you, Marilia, for raising the point. And you heard what Steve said. I mean, we may not have a position, but we have a lot of empathy for these issues. And with that, I think we move to the content regulation issue.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Marcus. And I think maybe that's Wendy can start with that.
Thank you. Wendy Seltzer, I just wanted to share a short statement from the non-commercial stakeholders group that NCSG joins the registries and registrars in strongly supporting ICANN's consistent policy that it should not be involved with content regulation nor become entangled in such disputes through the back door of contract enforcement. ICANN's contract enforcement obligations should be limited to terms that ensure the stable and secure operation of the Internet's unique identifier system. I just came here late, I apologize, from the voluntary practices session, and we think that there's a good and sharp distinction between the best practices that parties develop for reporting of abusive content, practices that we think should include transparency and legal process around potential takedowns, all of that happens around and outside of ICANN, not through ICANN contract enforcement.
Thanks, Wendy. I just want to add that yesterday we had meeting with Alan Grogan in our session in NCAG. I think it was quite useful to hear from him. And so that's what I want to add. But give the discussion.
Does anyone want to jump in? Or I think we all more or less agree, maybe with accent on more or less, that ICANN should stay out of content regulation. Milton?
Yeah. Well, I thought I would come out in favor of them getting into content regulation. No, I'm kidding. But it seems like the issue is not quite so simple. We appreciate the commitments that ICANN has made, and we had this meeting with Grogan about that, and we seem to be on the same page, but we both agreed that there are a lot of pressures on you, and the pressures will not be in any obvious way in which you will directly start regulating content. The pressures will be these indirect forms of contractual compliance, of which the public interest commitments imposed on you by the GAC in the last round of TLDs is a very good example. So tell us about, for example, how these public interest commitments are not forms of regulation of services and content. Do you see that as a slippery slope that you're getting involved in?
Anyone like to jump in here? I mean, this is, of course, intermediary liability. We know that is an issue, not just in ICANN. It was also in OECD, was a hot issue. In Net Mondial, it was the issue which almost made the conference collapse. So these are hotly debated issues and not always that easy to navigate. There is pressure without any doubt, but I'm not here to give my opinion. I'm here to moderate session. Any fellow board members would like to jump in. Yes, Niels.
Thank you, Marcus. I would like to shortly reiterate the importance of the Manila principles on intermediary liability, where a large group of civil society organizations has been working on, which probably is a fruitful start for a conversation on intermediary liability.
I just want to repeat, ICANN is not the Internet Content Police, full stop.
Jan Tropina, for the record, I want to say that I totally agree with the concept that ICANN is not content police and not really enforcement body, but I just dropped by voluntary practices session, and what is going on there is a bit scary in terms of level of discussion about takedowns, about enforcement, about voluntary frameworks for this enforcement, because it does go into the direction of private enforcement with lesser safeguards, and I believe that the fact that it is going around ICANN is a bit worrying.
There are discussion, and we should have an eye on this discussion, and there are discussion of the outside of ICANN. Look at the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. We have, it goes to the CCTLDs now in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Look at the TTIP. But for ICANN, I think it's very clear. We are not the content police, full stop.
Thank you, Tatiana Tropina again. Yes, and I think we have to deliver this clear message across different groups of stakeholders, because it seems that some of the stakeholders are not sure about this message being clear.
You're right, Tatiana. There are different views held among different stakeholder groups. Yes, Gonzalo?
Thank you. Well, since I'm leaving the board, I will say that big plus one, Wolfgang. And these are really complicated issues at the technical level. I was lucky enough, you know, to be part of the negotiation team that negotiated the trade agreement between Chile and the United States in 2004. And back in those days, I was 20-something, and my boss told me, well, boy, there is a new issue emerging, you know, it's ISP liability. Can you take it? And I realized how complex it was, you know, how difficult it is. Wolfgang was mentioning the TPP, and we are just starting to see how TPP is going to affect the rest of the world. So my suggestion at this point is that in our constituency day yesterday with the registrars and registrars, they announced that they are starting a study on content regulation and how it's going to affect ICANN, and they offer not a study but an effort to deal with this issue about content. I think it's really important for you guys to be there to inform what's going on. You're the experts on this issue and this field, and what ICANN will need in the future about this is information and clarity about the ideas, and in order to assess the risk that Milton was pointing out in terms of not direct content regulation, but different kind of ways of pressure that we are going to see in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Alan, please.
I just wanted to respond briefly on the session on voluntary practices. So in that session, I made it clear that voluntary practices mean voluntary practices. It means practices that are agreed to by the parties, not imposed or mandated by ICANN or ICANN compliance. And I also made it clear that if there are discussions to develop a framework for those voluntary practices, those need to take place outside of ICANN, that being the convener or mediator or facilitator of those kinds of negotiations is not part of ICANN's role. We might help, if we were asked to, we might help them find somebody to do that, but all of those discussions for any framework like that would need to take place between the impacted parties outside of ICANN. I don't want this to turn into a community discussion that turns into a PDP, that turns into trying to expand our remit into areas that are beyond the scope of our core mission.
Yes, Tatiana and Bruce, yes.
Just a short add-on. I also believe that there is kind of blurring line between what is going on in terms of abuse, like content regulation and actually abuse of DNS and so on. And we have to keep an eye on this because these anti-abuse policies, they're kind of overlapping a bit and sometimes can just, unintentionally step into the content regulation because, for example, if something is abused for content and malware at the same time, it might be a slippery slope. Thanks.
Just so you know, I've had that conversation with a number of people over the last several days. I think there's at least a discussion to be had about whether certain kinds of abuse, like malware, really are close enough to the core functions that it is something we could potentially be involved in because it affects the stability and security and resiliency of the internet and the naming and numbering system. That's very different than child abuse images or pornography or political speech or any of those things, which are clearly have nothing to do with the operation of that logical layer.
Thank you. Bruce, you wanted to?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges here is the blurring lines, and I think you're quite right about that. What I hear from the constituency in particular is they want ICANN to enforce a clause in the registrar agreement that requires a registrar to investigate, and that's pretty much what the clause says. Now, the reality, and I operate a fairly large registrar, is each registrar investigates based on its local laws, and so obviously if something is illegal in that particular jurisdiction, they can take some action. I think, as some have mentioned, some things are clearly illegal in every jurisdiction, and some things are clearly causing technical stability issues like malware, and registrars will take some action. But it's not for ICANN to regulate what registrars do, because the registrars are basically, the only thing in the contract is that we must obey the law. And that we must investigate. I think that's one of the blurring areas is trying to sort of get ICANN to create rules for how that investigation is done, because I think that needs to remain with each entity operating within its jurisdiction. The other area of blurring is that often registrars operate hosting operations, so they don't just provide names, they actually provide content services. Many registrars, or some registrars, produce content as well. So that gets a blurring, because they might be doing a certain thing based on their role as a registrar and then something else in their role as a hosting content, or even in their role of producing content. So I think we just need to understand there's different roles there. The other area I think we need to be careful of is what we put in the ICANN contracts. So what I'm hearing, is that ICANN must enforce its contracts, which is fair enough. But I think the challenge with some of the new GTLD stuff is that in order to get particular GTLDs past perhaps a government objection or past other processes, there's pressure to put things in that agreement that are content-related. And then ICANN will be asked to basically enforce that content-related provision that's in the agreement. So I think it's something we should be wary of, that we're not actually putting content-related topics into an agreement that's negotiated for a particular purpose, because we will then be asked to enforce that contract, and then we could be seen to be enforcing something that's content. Another area that we'd be careful that we don't blur those lines.
Well, I was going to say, can we close the discussion on this issue? I hope we have given you some comfort that we are aware of the issue and we try very hard not to slip down the slippery slope and try not to blur the lines. And with that, we move to the last issue on the agenda.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Yeah, the next issue is about human rights, and this maybe Nils can give some thoughts here and to introduce it. Nils, go ahead.
Thank you, Afik. Thank you, Marcus. And I'd like to thank you once again for this great opportunity to have a dialogue. And as you know, there have been ongoing discussions within ICANN on human rights. And this is not a new discussion. People have been working on this issue in ICANN for about 16 years. But since ICANN 50, I think one can note that there has been a convergence of this discussion, which had, amongst other things, led to the creation of the Cross-Community Working Party on ICANN's Corporate and Social Responsibility to Respect Human Rights, as well as other initiatives within ICANN, such as the creation of the GOG Working Group on Human Rights and International Law, and the work of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability Working Party 4, where there is work is done including a commitment to human rights in ICANN's bylaws. On that, we very much welcome the comment of the board to the second draft of the report of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability, where the board expressed its commitment to upholding human rights as appropriate within its mission. So, as you understand, we very much welcome these ongoing processes, and we're very happy to contribute to them. So one step for this contribution could be the report that the Cross-Community Working Party has produced, and of which I have several paper copies available, if you're interested, as well as a digital copy, of course. To ensure that there is a good collaboration between this cross-community work and board on these issues, we would like to request one or more of members of the board that could function as a communications channel on this topic with the whole community to ensure effective collaboration and involvement with people active in this process on this topic and the board. It would, of course, be very welcome if the designated board member or these board members would have experience with this topic. Do you think such a thing would be possible?
Well, if you're looking at me, I think I could consider being that kind of person. I participated also in WP4, but obviously this is an issue, as you came across in various statements of the board during the CCWG, that there are legal aspects that need to be analysed. What does it exactly mean? What are the liabilities? What are the commitments? But you have a commitment of the board to respect human rights as long as we don't expand the scope of ICANN, as it's within the scope, if it's not mission creep, then all the various instruments have different aspects. Are we talking about negative rights? Are we talking about positive rights? For me, I've always made the point in WP4, no problem with UDHR. That is a universally accepted aspirational document. Then the other documents would need, I think, further study and examination. But and we also said, I think, in our first submission that this is a Workstream 2 issue. In LA, we slightly shifted and said we are ready to embrace a commitment on human rights here and now. So you do find open ears, but I think these issues need to be analysed also from a legal point of view. What does it exactly mean? Yes, Tatiana?
I would like to say on the record, Tatiana Tropina, that I totally support the point made by Niels that if we'll have someone from the board like you, for example, who would follow our discussions when we're analyzing legal implications, instruments, so there would be no miscommunication between us and the board. So we will always know that the board is aware, like, what is the work, what has been analyzed, because you know that there are some discussions and some complicated issues being discussed. So we will be sure that we are delivering, that we have effective communication. Because it's a big issue and it can have potential problems.
Any other opinions? Well, if not, can you go for an early lunch?
Is this my kind? Actually, this is Janice Lang for the record, just behind. We had one person on remote, Stephanie Perrin, P-E-R-R-I-N. Oh, Stephanie's there? I don't know the players, so I'm sorry, but you came into the box for remote.
Yes, thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I'll just read out the question I put into the chat when we close that session. Just for further clarification, this clear statement on content is most welcome. We will be working on the definition of the public interest this year. May we assume that this position will be firmly reiterated during that process? Thanks. I think we're all a little worried about the definition of public interest because it's not easy, and this is where content usually gets dragged in.
Point well taken. Any other comments also from board members? Are we all in violent agreement? Yes. Seems to be the case with that. Rafik, hand over to you.
Well, if there is
need, yes.
Then, you know, let me hold you a bit more from line. And so it's great that there is this commitment from the board. And I would like to ask whether the board perhaps already has, like, preliminary ideas and visions on how it thinks ICANN could live up to this mission, either via a human rights policy, a human rights report, or perhaps there's even a whole corporate social responsibility strategy at the horizon.
Let me try from the other side. what is it that we're not doing that is already completely in conformance with the concepts and requirements? This is what's known in the dry academic circles as the null hypothesis.
Well, one would say that if one makes a commitment, one needs to have a framework to understand what these commitments would entail and how that would exactly do to do exactly this zero measurement. Because I could come up with certain things and then we could discuss whether we use the methodology. So I think it's crucial that we come together and see what framework we could use for this. And I could say, as we've been working out in the report, the UN Guiding Principles for Business and Human Rights are widely used, widely adopted, and also widely used in the ICT sector. So I think that would be a great starting point for the discussion.
I may, Mr. President. Yeah. Look, I think, as you noted, we have an effort, community effort now, to define the public interest. This is the place, this is the framework in which we should all cooperate and figure out how to define that. That effort is a community effort. It is also important to note that ICANN, in the last couple of years, has established for the first time a Department of Public Responsibility led by Nora Abusetta. Many of you have met. Nora is coordinating the community effort to define public interest, but she's also, in the meantime, not waiting for the definition, and we've launched multiple projects to not just talk about public responsibility, but do something about it. So in this room, for example, I see youth, young people seated at the table. They are part of a public responsibility program to bring young people to ICANN. ICANN Learn is now dishing out thousands of lessons a month to many people in the community around the world. This is another public responsibility program. The Fellows Program, which produced Lito and is now also produced our Leadership Award winner, is all part of that department. So there's many, many activities in that department that did not exist except for the Fellows Program 2 years ago that are now being spawned to also show deeds, not just words. But the word part is important, and I think we are going to work together in the next few months to get this right. And we look to your help and to your participation, please, to make sure that this is a definition that we are all proud of at the end of the day. And then it becomes the way, as you said, to guide what we do. I think that's the right approach. And I want to thank you for the report you flashed quickly. I put it in the board lunch break room so everybody had a chance to look at it. But please, thank you for the... We appreciate the effort you've made to produce a thoughtful report on the views of the community.
Thank you, Fadi. Well, we have some more time. I don't want to shorten the time we have with the board. There may be also other questions you may wish to address. But George?
Thank you. I want to echo what Steve said. We'd really like to hear from you. We've got a canvas which is not blank. Fadi has mentioned a number of things that we're doing. I'm confused about the issue, and I'd like the input of the group to see where you feel what we should be doing is not there yet. Okay?
Thank you very much. And I think perhaps there would be, we could shine a bit more light with this report. And if you think that the report is not clear, I'm also very happy with the cross-community working party to follow up on your questions, comments, and grievances, of course. And we're very voluntary to do
this. Thank you. That's a start.
And Stephanie, you wanted to come in? Yes.
Yes, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I don't want to keep everyone from lunch by engaging with Steve in a null hypothesis discussion, but I can't leave it on the table. I would offer you the who is law procedure, where we're clearly in violation with data protection law and creating a procedural mayhem that we have put our registrars through in order to comply with law.
Thank you. So on that particular item, since we've spent lots of time in meetings together, I'm quite aware of it. For better or for worse, I don't have that in the human rights bucket in my mind. I have that as a sort of more specific operational and structural issue with respect to how we handle that data. So it's important not to lose it. I just don't have it tied to the sort of the broader issue of human rights writ large.
Other comments?
If I may briefly respond to that, we tend not to focus on privacy as a human right in the human rights discussion we're having now, because it's kind of self-evident that ICANN has a lot of dealings with privacy, and it is a human right. It's in the UDHR. So we don't always focus on that. We tend to focus more on the free speech. But it's in the bucket. Thank you.
Well, that's why I always defend the UDHR. It's short and sweet. Other comments? Also feel free to address any other issue you may wish to discuss. No, I think we seem to live in harmony here. So.
Yeah, it looks quite scary. Okay, thanks. So, I mean, if there is no any other question from the board that they want to ask us, okay, no. Yes, Tim, if you want.
I'm going to say thank you to everybody.
Okay, thanks. So, just if I want the last statement, this is my last meeting as the chair of NCAG. I think I will miss this. And I want to introduce the next chair of NCAG, who will start on Friday, Tapani.
Thank you. Well, since we are only a few seconds over time and I'm not one to long speeches, I don't love my own voice, I rather have people speak who know what they are talking about. But thank you all, and next meeting I'll try to step into Rafik's big boots. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.